I thoroughly enjoyed Brother Runyon this morning. Looking forward to hearing from him again tonight. And so you give your undivided attention if you missed this morning's 11 o'clock service for whatever reason out there. Brother Runyon, 2 years assistant pastor, 21 years pastor, 14 years now president of International Baptist Outreach Missions. We support R.G. Smith as well, who works hand-in-hand with Brother Runyon in their work around the globe and started, I think he said, 127 churches. And just did a great job working with nationals. A lot of them graduates of Kevin Wynn's college or Rick Martin's college in the Philippines. Doing a great job. He's a Baptist. He's not a reformer. He's a Baptist. And I appreciate him. He's faithful, loves the book, loves the Lord. Brother Tony, come on, you and Jody, sing for us tonight. This will be a blessing. And as soon as they're done singing, give you undivided attention here to Brother Wendell Runyon.
God has blessed this nation, He has touched us with His hand. The promise of His faithfulness can be seen across the land. Our church bells ring in freedom. We can worship as we please and work to achieve our greatest dreams in security and peace.
Our fields are full as harvest.
The rains have always come.
Our table is a banquet.
Our silos overrun. And I know that why God has blessed us all so much. There is something He's expecting from every one of us.
We've been blessed to be a blessing.
We've been loved to give His love, made mighty so we can fulfill His call.
We've been blessed
to be a blessing. With enough to give enough, for the greatest in His kingdom is the servant of us all.
And down throughout the ages, Abraham to Paul, the commission has been handed to the ones His grace has called, that God will bless the nations, every tribe and every tongue, till all creation witnesses the glory of His Son.
Oh, hear God's people, who honor Jesus' name. We must obey this sacred call for His blessing to remain. Oh, what will be your answer? Will it be, Lord, here am I? To this your great commission, I gladly give my life.
We've been blessed
to be a blessing. We've been loved to give His love, made mighty so we can fulfill His call.
We've been blessed
to be a blessing, with enough to give enough, for the greatest in His kingdom is the servant of us all. To give His love, made mighty so we can fulfill His call.
We've been blessed
to be a blessing, with enough to give enough, for the greatest in His kingdom is the servant of us all. Servant of us all.
Glory to God. I'll tell you, Brother Weaver stood up here and it really blessed my heart, his presentation, because I've been in the United Kingdom, I've been in Western Europe, and I've been in Mexico, I've been in the Philippines, I've been many, many countries. I've preached in probably, I don't even know how many countries I've preached in this world, but it's very impressive to see what I've seen tonight. And if you'd been, ever been to the UK, you would understand what I'm talking about. I would say that Brother Kevin Wynn in Mexico City averages, he does average 4,000, high days of 8. If Brother Weaver averages 100, he has done as hard a task, accomplished a harder task, as Brother Wynn would have accomplished at 1,000. Or 2,000. Seriously. In Mexico, it's wide open. As I told you this morning, just 2 weeks ago, we saw 2,521 souls come to Christ in 4 services in 3 days. And I'm telling you, it's just something to see. And to see what God's doing there in Mexico. But what God's doing there, what Brother Weaver has shown us, is equal to that. Is equal to that. The UK, once, did you realize this Bible came from there? Do you know where all time is based upon? The UK. Isn't it amazing that God gave us the book from the very place? The Greenwich Time comes from the UK. And God gave us a book from the same place that he gave us the time. Isn't that a coincidence? No. There's no coincidences with God. They're responsible for giving us our Bible. And they're responsible for rejecting our Bible today. That Bible they gave us, they rejected. And brother, I'm very impressed. And I hope someday that you can come back and show us that you're averaging 300, and that will be an absolute miracle. I've seen the chop block that John Knox's head was chopped off on. I've stood in the room where King James was born, and Edinburgh Castle, and so many things that happened for our good right out of that place. I've been to Israel I don't know how many times, and it's so exciting to go to Israel. Every Christian should go to Israel. Your Bible, it's like before you were listening to a radio when you were reading your Bible, and once you go to Israel, it's like watching it on TV. That's how alive it becomes. So that nation of the UK, I've preached some revival meetings over there, and each time I've stayed over for 5 to 6 days and traveled around to all the scriptural sites, or many of them. And it's as exciting to me to go to the UK and to visit the scriptural sites as it is to go to Israel. Really. I mean, it's as exciting. To go and see our history and where the Bible came from and the men that died for it and the men that gave their lives for it right there. It's just something very special. I've stood by the River Lark where Spurgeon was baptized. I stood in the dining room where he ate Sunday dinner with the preacher before he was baptized. He walked 7 miles to the preacher's house and asked him to baptize him. I went to a Sunday service, ate dinner with the preacher, and then they walked to the River Yark, and they baptized him there. I stood in that place, and it's just something about it. It just gets holy. It just gets holy. And that place today is as dead, it's as dead can be. And for that to happen, what a blessing, what a blessing. And God is not through. I preached my last meeting in Leicester, England. I preached 5 days, and a person got saved each day. Now, God's not through. God is not finished. Someone got saved each day. while I was there. So it showed me that God was not through. The man I preached for hadn't had anybody saved in 2 years. And problem was, he wasn't a net drawer. He wasn't a net drawer. Folks get saved. Hey, God's dealing with people all over the world. You just got to find that one he's dealing with. The more you see, the more you find. I probably average leading 50 people a year to the Lord on airplanes. And I don't try to convince them to get saved. I just present the gospel and say, hey, you have a choice right now to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior or reject Jesus Christ and go to hell. Which will you do? Simple as that. If they don't want it, I say, well, I'll pray for you. And I give them a good verse of Scripture, like, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Leave that Scripture in their ear and their head. God may use it later. I'm not convincing anybody. I'm a declarer. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, I declare unto you that which I first declared unto you. Did you know that right in the middle of 23 wicked sins in Romans 1 is the word debate? A wicked sin of debate. What are they doing on television? What's Oprah and all of the, Dr. Phil and all the people doing on television today? They're debating. And when they come out to the end, what's most of the talk shows? They're debating. And when you come down to the finality of it, nobody wins a debate. It's a wicked sin. I'm a declarer. I'm not debating with anybody about their salvation. I'm a declarer. I went to Mexico two and a half weeks ago. On the way down, a 28-year-old businessman from Atlanta, Georgia, sitting across the aisle from me, struck up a conversation with him, asked him if he went to church. Said, never have. Don't go, never have. I said, do you ever worry about where you're going when you die? He said, all the time. I said, why? He said, the tsunamis and these earthquakes and all this, said, this thing's got to be wrapping up. I said, you know how to go to heaven? He said, would you tell me? I said, I'll send you some material. Led him to Jesus. Hey, I was on the way back. And flew from Atlanta to Asheville. A 22-year-old young lady lives in us. She ended up living in the same neighborhood I do. And asked her if she went to church. She said, never been to church in my life. Never been. I said, do you know how to go to heaven? She said, would you explain that to me? I said, I got a gospel track I'll mail you. No, I led her to Jesus. Hey, they're there. They're looking. The Holy Ghost has already been dealing. And I'm looking for them. I'm not looking. When I knock on doors, I may knock on 40 doors in one night. Because I'm not there to debate with anybody. I'm not there to debate with them. If they don't want to hear it, hallelujah, I'll go to somebody that does. And that's what you need to practice in your life. You'd be winning more people to God. You go out and you go on visitation, you get in the house and you debate with somebody for about 2 hours, and you come back and say, boy, we had a good visit. And no, you didn't. No, you had a good debate. And ain't nobody won. I done went down the street to 25 more doors and found somebody that's looking. I'm looking for them. It's looking for Jesus. The Holy Ghost is already doing something with, and I'm just telling, I'm declaring, and they're getting saved. That's free. That's free. Turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel. Missions in 1 Samuel. One of the greatest missions messages in the world is 1 Samuel chapter 1. The faith of Hannah. We're in a Faith Promise Missions Conference. And giving by faith, most people in America today do not know what it is. Have no idea what faith giving is. Faith giving is promising to give something that you don't have and you don't know how you're going to get it. That's faith. Many people in this congregation, you have to have no faith to give. God's blessed you. You're innumerably blessed with the goods of this world, and you can give, and it doesn't hurt. But there are some people in this congregation tonight that may be elderly and on a fixed income, and sometimes, and when you promise something, you don't know how you're going to do it. That's faith. That's faith. My mother lived on a fixed income of $480 a month. The first check my mom wrote was a tithe check of $100. That don't say tithe, does it? No, the first check she wrote to my church when I pastored her was a $100 tithe. The next check she wrote was a $50 faith promise. Now, my mama had what did that leave? $300. But I never seen my mama hurting for anything. And she got money from, she'd get checks in the mail from her insurance. She'd get checks. I never seen anything like it. I'd give my mother money, but I didn't even have to. God took care of my mother. She knew how to live by faith. Now, as we're talking here tonight about Hannah, we read in chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, it says, now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuth, and Ephrathah. Thank God I wasn't born in that day. Come here, Zud. You and your brother Hud, come on in here. Oh, thank God for Wendell's bad enough, but good night in the morning. You don't find many Wendells in this world, but I sure would hate to have been named some of these. And he had two wives. Whew, God help him. Whew. I asked a young Muslim man in Egypt one day, I said, you have four wives? He said, No. I said, how many you have? He said, one. I said, why you don't have four wives? He said, ain't no two women going to live in the same house. That's true. Well, these two women live in the same house, and boy, there was trouble in the house. There was big trouble in the house. There's a most famous television program in Egypt for about 2 years was a soap opera that a man had four wives and a mistress, Muslim man. And everybody would converge to their television all over Egypt at 8 o'clock at night. And they would watch that man, and it was the four wives and the mistress conniving against him the whole time. I mean, all five of them paired off on him. And that was what the whole soap opera was about. His name was Batwali, and everybody in Egypt, Batwali. Oh, we got to watch about. Have you seen Batwali last night? And buddy, I'm telling you, they were conniving against him. So these two wives were conniving against Elkanah. And now, he had two of them, and he said, and he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Oh, and the story goes that Peninnah walked around the house looking at Hannah. Ha ha, I got a baby. You don't. Elkanah's give me child, children. You don't. Hannah was in pure misery. Not because the woman was giving her such a hard time, but because in that day, the Israelitish women were praying and hoping that they would be the one to bear the Messiah. They all prayed for sons because they were hoping that their son would be the promised Messiah. Now, Hannah did not have a problem with the fact that the other woman had children. She did not. Hannah had a problem that she wanted to do something for God, and she was not doing something for God. Now, we sure need some examples of Hannah today. They had many children because the more they had, the more they hoped that they would bear the Messiah, that they would bring the Messiah into the world, and they would be the blessed woman as Mary was. But this Bible says that Hannah's womb was shut up. Now, on down there in verse 7, it says in the last part of the verse, she did not eat. Hannah fasted for this child that she may do something for God. It says in verse 8 that she weeps. In verse 8, she was grieved. We turn on over and we look in verse 10. And it says she was in bitterness of soul, wanting a child. You know, if you have more than two nowadays, you go into the grocery store with them. My daughter's got three boys, and she go into the grocery store with them, and she said, people look at her weird. We've been duped by this world. We independent Baptists have been duped by this world. We should not pay any attention to the world. Hey, let me tell you something. When I was pastoring the church, and I said, every woman in this church under 45 ought to be expecting a baby. My wife threw a songbook at me. No. No, we ought to bear children. Hey, listen, the Catholic, why do you think they're against abortion? It ain't because they don't want you to kill babies. It's because they don't want you to kill Catholic babies. They don't want you to fill up the pews in the Catholic Church. Hey, the independent Baptist movement is shrinking because we quit having babies. I realize there's women that can't, but everyone I've ever met that can't is grieved. They want a child. They want to bear a child. So Hannah, she was grieved in her heart. It says that she was sore vexed. She was fasting. She wanted to do something for God. Hannah goes up to the temple. Now, her husband Elkanah says, you know, he gave, turn with me, look over in verse 4. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. He gave Hannah more than he did all the others. Hannah should have been happy with her worthy portion. But Hannah was still not happy because yet she had not done what she wanted to do for God. She wanted a son so bad that she could give to the Lord. She was not happy with anything that Elkanah could do for her. She was a very miserable woman. They went up to the temple at the time of worship and the time of the offerings. And Hannah bowed at the temple and she was praying and weeping and saying, oh God, if you'll give me a child, I'll give him back to you. And the high priest Eli looked at her and said, woman, put away your wine. How long are you going to be drunk? She said, oh, consider me not the child of Belial. Oh, I've prayed for a son that I could give back to God. And Eli said, grant it. Grant it. Hannah went home, conceived, and she bare a son because she desired by faith to do something for God. Oh, the story of Hannah. One of the most wonderful stories in the Bible. And what did she do? She said, I will keep him until I wean him, and then I'll take him and I'll give him to the house of God, to minister there to the priests, and I'll give him all the days of his life. Now I want you to notice some things about Hannah. In verse 10, Hannah prayed by faith. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She prayed by faith. She was a praying woman. But she prayed expecting that God would do what she asked for. We have not because we ask not. You're not giving maybe because you have not asked God to provide for you the means for you to give as you would like to give. Oh, I give more today to missions than I used to make in a week's time. Why? Because I trusted God that He would do that. And years ago, I started giving small amount. And then I built that amount and built that amount and built that amount. And I remember just the other day, Brother Todd telling me, when he was a boy, just a child, he promised God $1. That's a big offering for a child when you don't have any means or way to get it. But Hannah prayed by faith. Do you know how to pray by faith? Do you know what faith is? The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the faith is tangible. God said it's a substance. I can feel it. I can feel it. It's a tangible, it's a tangible item is faith. It's the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. It's the fact that I'm trusting God, that He's going to take care. I told the preacher today that my life's verse has become Proverbs 3:5. And I don't even need to get past the first word. What is the first word? Trust. I don't need any more. Just trust. I thought I knew what faith was while I pastored. But I didn't know what faith was while I pastored. When I was pastoring, my church took care of me. They kept and furnished me a car. They furnished me gas. They furnished me my utilities. They paid for my house. They did everything. I had no worries whatsoever. Plus, I had spending money. I was in good shape. I didn't need any faith. My church was taking care of me. But one day, God said, go. In 1996, the last Sunday of January, I stood in that church and I said, God, I'll go. And when I went, I walked out of the church that day with all of those amenities that the church gave, went to the Piccadilly restaurant in the mall, got out of the car in the mall parking lot, and as I got out of the car and was walking up through the parking lot with my wife and my 17-year-old daughter, who was still wasn't even speaking because they didn't know what was going on. And I looked up. Something said to me as plain as day, you're a vagrant. You know what a vagrant is? He has no visible means of support. People used to be arrested for vagrancy. They'd put them in jail if they were on the street and had no visible means of support. I have really gone hungry since that time. I think I've got a pretty good looking tie on. I like it. If a tie's got red in it, it's pretty. I think I got a pretty nice suit on. Did I buy it? No. Did I buy the tie? No. Did I buy these shoes? No. These shoes are $350. They are orthopedic shoes. I've had 7 surgeries on that left foot in the last 8 years. I have to wear $350 shoes. The man that does my shoes, that does them for my doctor, he's a Southern Baptist. He said, preacher, our church gives nothing to missions. He said, as long as you do what you're doing, I'll keep shoes on your feet. he gives me 2 pair every year. I got shoes in my closet just running. I look like a Mel DeMarcus. I got shoes running out of my closet. I told him the other day, I said, I don't need any more shoes. He said, yeah, you need 2 more pair. See, God has fed me. I have never missed a bill. I've never missed a payment. I drive a Cadillac Escalade. Glory to God. I mean, it's a few years old. I couldn't afford a new one. But hey, I'm telling you what, it is a ride. Woo! Glory. And you know what? Everything I buy is for comfort nowadays. It ain't for sport. I don't care if it's got 4 and 6 in the floor. And I don't care if it's got 900 horsepower under the hood. That big Vortec will take me wherever I need to go, glory to God. And I'm telling you, I buy for comfort nowadays. But I'm saying this, by faith. I live by faith every day. I've lived by faith for 14 years. I don't know where the next one's coming from. All I know is God has seen that it was there when I needed it. It's faith. It's faith. Let me tell you a story about a praying mama. Hannah prayed by faith. My mama piled up enough prayers for me. She died in 2001, but she piled up enough prayers to take me on into glory. I'm satisfied with that. I'm not worried about it. Had a praying mama. There's a lady down in Middle Georgia. Her name was Clara Jackson. Clara Jackson prayed for a preacher boy. This is back in the late 20s. Brother John Jackson, did you know Brother John Jackson, Brother Terry? One of the greatest men of God I've ever known in my life. I adopted him as my father after my father died. And he was just, he was a man of faith, a man of God, a preacher of the gospel. We buried him in 1994, died with cancer. I miss him so much. But his mama prayed for a preacher boy. She had several other sons, but God told her in her womb that that was her preacher boy. When he was born, he only weighed about 28 ounces. She carried him around in a little shoebox with a little blanket wrapped around him. He was just born. She went down in Doran, Georgia. They walked down a country road, a dirt road, to a little church on Wednesday night. They went into the church and had service. This little baby could not eat. He could not feed in any way. Could not feed from his mother. He could not feed from a bottle. He could take nothing. The doctor told Clara Jackson that John Jackson Jr. was going to die because he couldn't eat. She went home. God began to deal with her. She walked several miles back down that old dark, dirt, red clay Georgia road. She went into that little country church. Back in those days, they had lamps hanging on the wall. She didn't light a lamp. She just went into that church. In those days, the churches stayed open all the time. There were no doors locked. People would go by, and they could go in and pray any time they wanted to. She went in the back door of that church, came up there, and laid that little box on the altar. She said, "Lord, you told me that this was my preacher boy. And Lord, the doctor tells me he's going to die. He can't eat. He's only 28 ounces. He can't eat. Lord, you told me he's my preacher. Spare him, Lord." She walked back down that Georgia road in that dark of the night. She went on the way back home. Something spoke to her and said, "Medicine dropper." She went back home. She cleaned and washed a medicine dropper, and she put it in the milk and put it in John Jackson's mouth, and he drank. She raised him on a medicine dropper till he could eat. God gave her her preacher boy because Clara Jackson knew what it was to pray by faith. Just like this mama did, just like Hannah did. Mamas, we need some Clara Jacksons in the church. Mamas, we need some Hannahs in the church. I remember as a youth pastor at Trinity Baptist Church in Asheville, North Carolina, Dr. Ralph Sexton Sr. was my pastor, ordained me to the ministry. And there was some, when I first went to that church, well, for 2 years, I was youth pastor, and I had the youth in the evenings before church, but I was the teacher of the old ladies' class. And I called them old ladies. They'd say, "We're not old ladies, we're senior citizens." But those old ladies would come over to the church on Thursday morning. And they'd go back in a room. And those old ladies would get back there and get a hold of God. The power of God was in our church and in our services and on our pastor. Let me tell you something. Our pastor had some praying women that followed him all the way through his ministry. And one day in the French Broad River, he baptized 500 people. I'm talking about praying women. There was no gossip session. Those old ladies didn't come in there gossiping about everybody in the church like many of the prayer meetings so-called in the church today. And we come in and in 2 minutes we're through praying and we're done. You know why? You haven't had any practice, glory to God. You haven't had any practice and therefore in 2 minutes it's all over with and done. You don't know who to pray for. You don't know. And I'm so disappointed. I go in churches today and many of the churches in the South, we have prayer room before the church service. You go in. All the requests are for sick people. surgeries. Somebody stumped your toe. Somebody's got cancer. You never, never hear anyone request prayer for a lost person. That's sad. You know why? They're not dealing with anybody lost. But Hannah prayed by faith. God answered her prayer. Did you know that by faith, Hannah promised? Hannah promised that she'd give something she didn't have, and she promised that she'd give something that she had no ability to get. Babies come from God. You have no ability. No ability. Have you ever promised God something that you didn't have and you had no ability to get? That's faith. And Hannah promised. Had a friend, he's in heaven now, he's dead, he died at 42 years old, one of the best friends I ever had. A layman, no preacher. But he started out and got saved. And he bought a little old car buffer and started detailing cars so that he could give money to missions. Didn't have it, but he would go out in the afternoon after work and detail cars and start giving to missions. He decided he's going to do better and give more money to missions. He bought him a rig. He bought him a tractor and leased it out. And a guy that in the church started driving it. He had a wreck and totaled his car. He didn't have his truck. He didn't have any insurance. He lost everything he had. He lost everything he had. He had to borrow an old beat up 48 Ford truck from a man in the church to get to work and back in the church and back. He lost everything he had. But he never quit giving to those missionaries that he'd promised. He never quit tithing. He never quit. Did you know that within 3 years, the man was giving more to the church than most of the people in the church made? He promised by faith. He kept the promise. And he gave by faith. And he, therefore, reaped the benefits of that faith. She not only promised by faith, but did you know by faith she gave? God gave her that son. What did she do? She took that son when he was weaned, took him down to the temple, and gave him to Eli the priest, and said, "Here's my boy, and he's yours for the rest of his life." How many of you mothers could do that? How many of you mothers could take your child and give him to the house of God or to the Lord? Many of you, you don't want your child to go to the mission field. You want them to stay in your backyard. I'd rather my child be in God's will in Madagascar, is in the backyard of my house, out of the will of God. Hey, listen, are you willing? Are you willing, as Hannah was, to give? Are you willing, if you pray for something that you don't have and you have not the ability to get, are you willing to promise God that? I was standing in Sammy Allen's camp meeting. We were singing. I was standing in the congregation. We were singing the invitation, and there was a preacher in front of me, and he always had a hard time. He just could not make ends meet. He's just always having a hard time. And his 16-year-old daughter was standing there beside him and a couple of his other children. Jessica, the girl's name, I'd known him for years. And her Bible was laying in the seat, and God said, "Put $20 in Jessica's Bible." I took out $20. We were singing. They didn't even know what was going on. I just opened it up to the psalm and stuck $20 in it. I obeyed God because God said, "Give." You know what? Months went by. I didn't see Jessica. Her daddy, or no one. Probably 6 months. Next time I saw Jessica, she ran up to me with tears in her eyes and said, "Oh, Brother Rudyard," she said, "do you remember? You told me to look in my Bible in the book of Psalms when I left that night, and there was my $20. She said, "I had promised God $20 a month, faith promise." I said, "I didn't have any money. I didn't have any allowance. I didn't have a job." He said, "My faith promise was due the next Sunday." And she said, God provided through your gift. You see, God spoke to me. I gave it. But God had spoke to her, and He provided it. You see, you need to learn God's provision. You need to learn that by faith, when you promise, by faith you give. By faith you give. And then, you know what else? By faith she increased. By faith she increased. I want you to notice with me over in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Now, I did a study on this thing. Did you know that Samuel was 52 years old when Samson died? Samuel was a 13th and rebellious judge. Samuel was 52 years old when Samson died, and Samuel literally became the judge of Israel. Samuel was the 14th and final judge. 2 times 7, God's number of completion. Samuel, because of Hannah and her praying and her faith, God used Samuel to anoint King Saul. But better than that, God used Samuel to anoint King David. Saul is a picture of the Old Testament law. David, a picture of New Testament grace. And God used that man to do all of that because Hannah was faithful in her prayers, in her giving. You see what God can do with you? You'll never know. Now, as she gave, and he says in verse 19, moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. She increased her faith. It took more material next year. It took more thread next year. It took a bigger coat next year. She increased her giving every year. She had promised back here, but she increased over and over and over, and not a year went by without she made him a coat. Not a year went by without she increased. Maybe you ought to pray about increasing your faith this year. Maybe you ought to trust God when you've never trusted God. Maybe you ought to say, oh Lord, I'll give this much. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know how I'm going to get it. I have no ability to get it, but I'm going to trust you that I'm going to do that. Now, there's something very interesting. I had me a good Baptistical spell in the hotel this afternoon. I never had seen this. I never had seen this. But in verse 28, therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. He was still hers. She lent him. Guess what? Everything that you put in the offering plate is a loan. You want great return on your investment. Everything you give to the Lord is just a loan. You don't give anything to Him. You're just loaning it to Him. Can you imagine when you get to the judgment seat of Christ? Did you know that God blessed her fivefold for what she did? Look up in verse 21 of chapter 2. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Fivefold, God blessed her for what she gave. Is that pretty good interest? Hey, if you put in this year, hey, everybody wants to win the sweepstakes. Everybody wants to win the lottery, but you oughtn't to be going down investing in the lottery. But everybody wants to win the clearinghouse sweepstakes. And have you ever seen the excitement when they win? They walk up with that big check, and man, they go crazy. They go absolutely crazy. What if I told you tonight that if you gave $1,000 this year to Faith Promise, that I could guarantee you $5,000 back? Guaranteed. What if I told you tonight If you gave $1,000, I could guarantee you $5,000 back. What if you gave $10,000? I could guarantee you $50,000. What if you gave $250,000? I could guarantee you $1,000,000. Would you get excited? Guaranteed. Man, when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, I guarantee you everything that you lend the Lord, He'll take it and multiply it over and over and over and over. Now, I want you to notice something in chapter 2. You know what? Hannah rejoiced. She was a happy woman. Look in chapter 2 and verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord." My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord. Hannah went about rejoicing. She was a woman in bitterness of heart. She was a woman that was weeping. She was fasting. She couldn't eat. But all of a sudden, what is Hannah doing? She's rejoicing in the Lord because what? Her faith, she carried it through. She gave. And now she's rejoicing. Let me give you an example. There's a woman named Maul Stewart that was in Ralph Sexton's church for years and years, one of those old praying women. And Maul Stewart was a shouter. I know some of you folks up north don't like that. But I'm telling you what, old Maul Stewart sat right down there. And the first time I went into Ralph Sexton Church, I was backslid on God, a free will Baptist, thought I'd lost my salvation. And that fella that I was talking about that gave all that money and wrecked that truck and all that, and God blessed him, I was working on a bread route, and one day I got the best route in the bakery. Man, I'd worked my way up the best route in the bakery. I pulled into a store just over from the bakery, and there sat the bunny bread truck. I was a Sunbeam bread man. And boy, bread men in those days fought. We fought over space on the rack. Somebody is always covering your bread up with their bread. They'd tape razor blades to their fingers and walk down through the store over your bread and just ripping the top of it, cutting the top of it so it gets stale and old. They'd put a loaf of bread behind the rack and let it turn green and put it back on your bread. That was the bread man. That was exciting. I mean, I loved it. The biggest mistake I ever made is one man from the opposing company. He was 6'8", and he covered me up, my bread. And I told him, "Let's go outside." I was dumb. I was an idiot. I'm telling you what. Hey, that's the worst mistake I ever made in my life. He didn't have a shirt on when we got through, but I was bruised and had black eyes and everything else. You don't do dumb things like that. But, we're competitors, and I said, "I'm going to meet my competitor." And I bounced over on in the truck and sit down on the motor, and I said, "Blankety blank something." And he said, he's taking two loaves of bread out of the rack, and he said, "Are you saved?" Whew, like he stuck a spear in my heart. And I said, "I used to be." See, I was a free will Baptist. I thought I'd lost it. I saved it at 14, and they ain't never doubted it, but thought I'd lost it. Well, anyway, he talked me into going to church with him at Ralph Sexton Senior's church. Little old church down on State Street. And I went in there, and Maul Stewart was sitting over there. And Ralph was preaching on the second coming of Jesus. And boy, I mean, he is a bouncing around on one foot and a preaching about that white horse a coming. And he is a getting excited. And I'm telling you what, old Maul Stewart, she is a handkerchief waver. And she is over there and she is standing up a cheering him on. Woo, glory to God, amen. And Maul Stewart walked with God. She knew God. That's why she could shout. And I tell you what, we went up and started building a brand new building. Ralph had come in on Sunday morning. We was down in the basement, and it was leaking like Snuffy Smith's house. We'd get wet every Sunday morning. It'd rain. Boy, it was just a leaking. The floor over us and down in the basement, just the old metal chairs. And Ralph would come in there on Sunday morning. He'd take up enough money to build that week. And old Ma Stewart, I've seen her take that little old Social Security check and sign it and put it in the offering plate. She didn't have nothing to live on. Not a thing. She gave by faith. Her nephew, Jerry Payne, was the assistant pastor. And Jerry Payne, one morning, she signed that little old check and she put it in the offering. And Jerry counted the money. And he went to her and he said, Ma, he said, I'm going to redeem this check for you. I'm going to put that $300-something in and give you your check back. She took that handkerchief and she said, you shut up, boy. Slapped him across the face with that handkerchief. Said, you shut up, boy. You ain't going to cheat me out of no blessing. You know what Jerry Payne said? Okay, Ma. He knew better. He called her Aunt Lucy back in the early days, and they used to be out in the woods out there playing cards, and Aunt Lucy's up on the porch praying, oh, God save them wicked boys. But you know why Ma rejoiced? And you know why Ma could shout? And you know why Ma was so happy? Hey, anybody couldn't preach with Ma shouting, you ain't got no preaching in you. It's just like this choir tonight. Preacher, if you can't preach after this choir, you ain't got no preaching in you. Praise God. But listen, you know what? Ma rejoiced, just like Hannah rejoiced. Hannah was rejoicing. Why? Because she prayed by faith. She promised by faith. She gave by faith. She increased by faith. And Hannah was a happy one. A rejoicing Christian. Some of you come in look like a Georgia mule eating sawbriars. Why? You don't know what it is. You don't know what it is to give by faith. You don't know what it is just to trust God, that God will take care of you. Hey, but you know something? Hannah, what an example of faith. Do you want happiness? You know what? You know what? And I say this rejoicingly. Do you know when the crash happened a year and a half ago? You know how much poorer I was the next day than I was the day before? I didn't lose a moment's sleep. I slept like a baby. I still do. You say, preacher, you haven't prepared for the future? Oh, I'm prepared if I die. My wife's going to be fixed well. Cost me a lot of money to keep it so she's fixed. I'm not going to leave my wife starving. No, no. But you know something? Long as I'm breathing, I'm just trusting Him. I'm just trusting Him. I'm going to give away everything I got. I'm going to give away everything I got. You know why? Because I found out giving people are happy people. I've found out that people that hoard and keep it up, you know what we do? We spend the first half of our life making it and saving it, and the last half afraid somebody's going to take it away from us. Miserable. Because somebody's going to take it away from us. You know what I'm going to do? You know what? I give as much to missions as I tithe. Why? Oh, you could be putting that up. I'm putting it up. I'm loaning it to God. I'm loaning it to God. And guess what? My benefits are going to be far more than simple interest or compound interest. My interest at the judgment seat of Christ, that's where I'm looking for it. Oh, listen. I'm not telling you to do what I do. I've just learned that by faith. I walk, I breathe, I live, I eat. The clothes on my back, what I drive, it's all by faith. Let's bow for prayer. Faith promise. Faith promise. Have you ever practiced and experienced real faith? folks, there's nothing like the joy of it. There's nothing like the rejoicing of it. You know something? I'm always giving. I'm always handing out money. And there's always blessings come back that somebody reports to me what a blessing it was that I did that. Always. Man, that's happiness. That's joy. And when I give and I see these missionaries able to go around the world and carry this blessed gospel message to those that would never hear if I don't give, I rejoice. I rejoice. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You wonder why you don't have any joy. You wonder why you come to church and you look around and you see somebody and you see something wrong with this and you see something wrong with that. And song service too long, the preacher's too loud, the preacher's too soft, the preacher's too long, the preacher's too short, or the Sunday school class is just a boring time. Hey, I experience no boredom in the Lord's work whatsoever. I'm excited about what God is doing. I'm excited about the work of the Lord. Hey, I like these missionaries when they come up with excitement about what God's doing. Hey, God's still doing it. You want to get involved? You want to? Are you challenged by Hannah tonight? Are you challenged by her faith and her practice of that faith? While we stand, the pianist plays, the musicians play. You ready to experience the blessings that Hannah experienced? Are you willing to give something or promise something you don't have? And you have no ability to get? Even the children? Hey, Jessica, no way to get that $20 a month. But she said every month God does something just in that way. Faith. Do you know what it is? Have you ever experienced it? You've never known the joy of serving Jesus. Till you experience.